Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's another show. It's the middle of another week. We are in May. I know already. It's, what is it? It's Star Wars Day today, isn't it? May the 4th be with you. And tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, so I guess that means we've got another trip to the Mexican restaurant tomorrow, which is great. Anyway, I am here, and so is my guest. Now, my guest, he's a self-taught harpist, multi-award winning, hits all over the place, etc. But it all started with some encounters in Arizona, I think. But we'll get to it when we speak to my guests, because on the show today, I have the one and only Peter Sterling. Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Barry, thank you for having me on the show today. I'm doing very well today.
It's great to hear you. Great to hear you. Before we get on about the music stuff, you actually, when you were younger, you sort of had a lot of sort of like almost out-of-body experiences, which might have been down to sort of meds and stuff like that, but it mm-hmm. became part of your life, didn't it? Sort of being able
Certainly
to have these
did.
Things, yeah.
My life has been one of a lot of paranormal, unusual experiences ever since I was a young boy. You're right. At about 10 years old, I was put on Ritalin for hyperactivity. I was dosed. I wasn't paying attention in class, and they decided to put me on the pharmaceutical drug and try to calm me down. But I had a very adverse reaction to the Ritalin, and it was like a hallucinogen to me. And I started having, I remember being in class, I was probably like my son's age now, in fourth or fifth grade, about fifth grade, I believe it was. This memory is burned into my mind. I'll never forget it. But I can remember sitting at my desk and looking out the window and kind of disassociating from my body.
Right.
And sitting in my chair with a single desk and chair, and it was like my body became kind of paralyzed as this was happening. I couldn't move my body, and I started floating out above my body, and then I kind of went. I remember floating out the window or something for a second. It was almost like a daydream,
right?
But it was very unnerving, and this sort of thing started happening to me a lot. And simultaneous with that, I'll just finish with,
sure.
I was having tremendous nightmares and waking up in the middle of the night and running through the house kind of in a frantic trance, and like something was chasing me and it was diving into my mother's bed trembling. It was a very, unnerving time for myself back then. And it really kind of help to set a course for the way my life would go.
Now, it's interesting because obviously, I always say that, and like most people do these days and now, but it's the younger children and very, a lot older people are a lot more open to things, like animals as well, sort of thing. And especially if you're sort of are on some sort of medicine. I mean, and the whole leaving the body experience and stuff like that. I mean, you just got to look at the Tibetan monks, this whole astral plane business and everything like that. It's just a case that sometimes you might be doing it. You might sort of be feeling you leave your body. It's just that you were able to, for whatever reason, remember it, accept it, just be part of it and not sort of shut it out. And the fact that you were then able to carry on along that path, it's obviously in your case that you seem to be more susceptible and more open to such things, as indeed when was it 1990s in Arizona visitations.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to back up a little bit in the progression of how things unfolded. So as a teenager, see, what I have a the grandmother on my mother's side, my dear grandmother Lucy, my Irish grandmother, as it turned out, she was a soul traveler, and she was very adept in Ekinkar, spiritual science of soul travel.
Yep.
as I was a young, at the same time this was happening to me, because my grandmother was a caretaker for me when I was young a lot of the time, and she was whispering things in my ear. So here I was having these out-of-body experiences, and then as I got older, more like a teenager around 14, 15, I started to inquire to what my grandmother was doing, because I sensed there was she was up to something, and right. then she started to share with me that she was a student of Ekinkar and that she practiced soul travel, which was a way to leave your body and travel up into the higher spiritual planes and dimensions.
Right.
And so then she started giving me the books of Ekinkar and teaching me and mentoring me in these techniques. When I became 15 or 16 and was going through the change of becoming a man, that's when my grandmother sat me down and she said, okay, you are old enough now. And I she basically gave me her whole library of books, wow. you know, of Ekinkar. And then I started learning the techniques of soul travel. And then, you know, then I come to Sedona in the late 80s, early 90s. I start doing a lot of shamanic journeying and exploring other dimensions, and kind of, you know, it climaxed with a series of profound experiences where I crossed over to the other side and heard like a near-death experience. Uh-huh. And I saw the light, and I heard the glorious sound of the angels, and then the angels appeared and they revealed to me my life's mission to channel the angels' music and play the harp and bring special music to earth at this time of the long prophesied dawning of the golden age of man,
right.
and the thousand years of peace.
was this the first time that the angels actually came to you with messages? You'd been to, you know, you'd been places and you traveled and stuff like that. You'd never sort of actually had the angels actually visit you before?
Well, this was my first conscious direct connection with them. I do have recollection, and I write about it in my book, when I was a young boy of six and had an experience in the church on around Easter, and with the stained glass windows, uh-huh. and saw this glorious light and traveled up the light and went out the window, you know. So I've had these series of kind of out of bodies. I guess what I've come to understand is I'm a soul traveler, and it's in my lineage, and it was passed on to me from my grandmother, and we share the same name, my name, Peter Sterling. That's from my mother's side and my grandmother, Irish side. And so these things are often passed on down through the generations, and oftentimes skips a level down to the grandchildren, of course, because,
right.
you know, my mother wasn't interested in this type of a thing. And she didn't actually approve of when she discovered that my grandmother was doing soul travel, because my mother was more involved with the church, and she didn't feel that was, you know, part of the Christ
right.
thing, you know, and this and that. So, yes, so there was this series of progressions, and I've come to realize that this was all set up. It was my soul's destiny, and that's one of my fortes, is I'm a soul traveler, and I explore different dimensions, and I bring back and share with humanity what I find, and I share it through my music and through my art and through my writing and through my public lectures and workshops. And that's the mission I've been given, is to speak of the heavenly worlds and the reality of them and the reality of the angels and these higher planes that are just so glorious and beautiful, that it's this and how that's connected with the, you know, the this ascension and the golden age, and
right.
This kind of collective awakening that hopefully is happening right now on planet Earth for humanity. Yeah,
indeed. So, and it's interesting that there's other dimensions as well, because, you know, I've spoken to several other people who've sort of similar type experience of sort of, you know, meeting the angels, going to, and in some cases, you know, mm-hmm. if a loved one's died, several actually most of them are if a son's or daughter's died, they sort of go up and sort of see the things like that. But
yes,
the fact that you know, in your book, Hearing the Angels Sing, a true story of angelic assistance, one of the things you do is you go into how, you know, you did meet them, and then something, what made you then sort of take up the harp as an instrument? Had you sort of been into music before? What led to that?
Great question. You know, I, as I write in my book, I showed talent with music as a child at 5, 6 years old when I started playing the family piano by ear. And all of a sudden, here I was, this little boy who was playing with both hands on the keyboard and was really developing melody. I was really had these melodies. And then my mother was just astonished, you know, coming into the room and watching me and listening to me. And then she started inviting friends to come over and sit in the living room. And I give these little recitals and performances for my mother and two or three of her friends. They would sit there and have an evening cocktail and smoke a cigarette. And, you know, and they were just amazed at the little boy doing that. And then what happened was, you know, one of her friends came over who was an accomplished pianist, and he was watching me. And of course, I wasn't playing with a proper trained technique. Uh-huh. I was fully just improvising, and he kind of said, "Oh, no, you're going to have to take proper lessons and learn how to play properly." And, you know, I reflect back, and that kind of turned off a switch in my brain. I think it was from that point on, I stopped playing. It was almost like he shamed me for what I was doing and kind of put me down that it wasn't good enough for some reason. And I just let it go. And then through the years, I always, like a lot of us, I felt music. I wanted to play an instrument. I tried different things. I felt music in my heart and soul, but I was on the search for my instrument. And but it wasn't until, you know, in my early 30s where all of a sudden because of these experiences with the angels, this group I made contact with, because, you know, here I was at the time this happened to me. I was living in my Volkswagen camper van and sleeping every night out in the remote canyons of Sedona here, which are these beautiful ancient canyons with Native American Indian ruins up in the cliffs. And the energy was just so pristine at that time. And there was this vast stillness, a silence there. And I would just sit and just listen to this amazing silence, and I could just drop into such a deep meditation out there in the canyons by myself. And it was by going deep into the meditation, because I said I was led up to this. I knew that something was going to happen to me, and I was just guided to go and sit in silence and, you know, meditate, be still, just tune into my zero point in the ultimate here and now, right? And
right.
Listening to the silence. And it was from that all of a sudden I started to hear a subtle strain, some subtle sounds of music. And I thought maybe somebody was out in the forest with me with a portable stereo playing some sort of symphonic music. But then I realized, no, that I was hearing something that was of a divine origin. And it seemed like all of nature that surrounded me was in perfect harmony, perfect pitch with this glorious celestial music that I was hearing. And at first it was faint, but the more I tuned into it, the louder it became. And, you know, my whole life, I was led up to this moment. This was like a pivotal moment for me in my life. And all of a sudden, I was taken up out of my body, and I was taken up into the light, the sound, because, you know, through my work with Ekinkar and soul travel, you know, listening to the inner voice was something my mother just ingrained into me as a young child. Peter, listen to your inner voice.
Right.
So I had just tuned into that for so long, and I saw the progression of events, and all of a sudden the heavens opened up to me, and I was taken up into the light. And it was like this transcendent experience, supreme. And there I bathed in this golden light and this stillness and with this glorious music. And then out of it appeared to me, because my inner vision, my third eye opened up, my spiritual vision.
Yep.
And I was seeing all this stuff like on the inner planes. And there all of a sudden before me appeared the angels. And it was a group of cherubs, and they were like floating in the air in front of me, and they were looking at me. All of a sudden, they appeared magically, and it was like, oh my God, it was like, what am I seeing here? Is this real? As you said, I had no reference for angels up until this point. And at the time, I was doing my shamanic work, and I had my power crystal and my totem animals, and I was learning about the four directions and the medicine wheel, and I wasn't thinking about angels. But then all of a sudden, spontaneously, they appeared to me, and it was for myself when that happened. It was a really before and after kind of experience, because then I realized, wow, they're real. Because before that, I didn't know about angels. I thought perhaps they were some sort of fantasy of somebody, of artists and whatnot. But then I realized, no, they're real. And then this relationship ensued, and we discovered that we could communicate telepathically. And then I started to receive all sorts of messages and information from them. And they took me on extraordinary journeys. And I went time and time again. Like there was a period of time that I was having these out-of-body experiences, and they were with me constantly, and they were taking me on all these amazing journeys. It was just extraordinary.
Did you ever go to Peru at all? The reason I'm asking is because I've had somebody who was similar sort of musical effect in the, I guess it was the highlands of Peru, and the
right.
The pipes, the flutes, and that there.
Right.
Have you been there?
I have been to Peru,
right.
And that's actually, yeah. Well, that's actually the last chapter in my book. And yeah, and it's called the chapter is called My Meeting with St. Peter. And
okay.
What happened to me there was that I went, this was in 2009, and you know, here I am, I'm telling in my book, I tell the whole story of my childhood and my arrival in Sedona and my journey through Sedona, meeting the angels, and then how the music came to me and the angels guided me to make a recording. And, you know, we would work together to bring special music to the world at this time. And my first CD I recorded after only 10 months of playing the harp.
Wow.
And, you know, without any lessons. And it just happened so magically, the way it all synchronistically came about and manifested for me. But that's what happens when you work with the angels, because
right.
I realized that the angels were real, because when it first opened up for me, and at the time I was living in my van, and you know, very simply, I didn't have any money, and I was just like a yogi, and I was fasting and doing yoga and just being on the land, and I wasn't pursuing wealth or anything at that point. But just amazing, amazing time there.
Amazing, amazing in more than one way. You know, 10 months after you started playing, you're like this, because, you know, you're not just a journeyman harpist. You know, you're one of the world's premier harpists in the genre of the new age and contemporary instrumental stuff. You've had several number one records in the international radio charts, bronze and silver medal winners. You know, global music awards. Yeah, you know, you've done all this stuff, and it's not just on the music side. A lot of people listening to it have been able to share some of the experiences that you've had, into the fact that you've been able to heal some of these listeners.
Well, the angels told me that they gave me the music at this time, and that I was a channel for the angels' music. And you know, that's how, when I learned to play, like I just put my hands to the strings and my fingers began to just move by themselves. And it was an extraordinary sensation. And as was happening, the energy that would overcome me was one of just pure bliss and ecstasy. And I would be sweating profusely. It was very hot, very high intensity frequency. And I later learned that actually an angel would come into my body and play through me. That's how I learned. Like I would just open. Yeah, it was like I was like a trance channel, which
right.
I was familiar with. But I would just open myself up, and I would feel all this love around me and this golden light, and I would see the angels. And then you know, they would just tell me what they would repeat over and over to me. I would hear in my mind, trust, surrender, and let go. Trust, surrender, and let go, over and over. And so I would just say, okay, I trust, surrender, I let go. I trust, I surrender, I let go. And the more I did that, then and I would just breathe into it. Then this energy would just come into me, and my hands would lift to the strings by themselves practically. And then they would just start moving on the strings, and I would just watch with amazement as this was happening, and tears would be pouring from my eyes, just kind of uncontrollably. It wasn't like I was crying, but
right.
It was like I was having some sort, it was such a high energy that my, you know, I was sweating and I was on fire, like sweat was dripping down my forehead sometimes, and my hands were trembling on the strings. It was intense. I had to do a lot of preparation for that. I just want to say, Barry, like I did a lot of healing work on myself, because
right.
I was told, you know, this is, you're on your mission, something's coming, prepare yourself. So I just did a lot of healing and clearing and worked with chiropractors and different body workers and did all sorts of things to open myself up and prepare my nervous system for what was to come. Because this type of energy, if it comes to you and you're not ready, it can create instability in people, you know.
One of the hardest things I'd have thought that was, you know, to literally open your body to be basically pulled through edge backwards almost. You know, you've got the amount of stress and pressure and everything that you've got no control of, and it's going to come. It's like, and I'm thinking, sitting here, you know, listening to what you're saying, thinking, you know, those people that can paint like somebody, or suddenly
yeah.
sit in front of a piano and play like somebody, or write like somebody.
Right.
It's the similar
right.
sort of thing. The body gets taken over by whatever, you know, angels
mm-hmm.
in your case, or it could be, you know, a painter or something like this. It's not, you know, it's something you hear of a lot. And I remember watching a painter, one of the painters, and they basically, when it finished, they basically collapsed. You know, the stress
mm-hmm.
that came over them. And like you're saying, and like obviously in your hearing the angels sing in your book, you show this, that's a big thing for you to be able to get yourself in a condition to be able to take this gift and let the angel do, you know, do your body to do it. It's each time you do a concert, it must be horrendous for you.
It is. It's fun and enjoyable, but it's also kind of stressful for me. But it's a lot of energy. I love sharing with people. I've been doing some concerts recently, and I love that when I get in front of an audience, I just sit at my harp, at my instrument. I don't generally know what I'm going to play. I just begin to improvise usually. And I just let the music flow through me. And that's my forte, is improvisation. And I love to make music that has these wonderful twists and turns and changes in it. Like it's an ever unfolding story, yet it has a melody line that ties
right.
it all together. And it's a magical quality to my music
spinning a web around it. Yeah.
Yeah. I spin a web, and I spin with the harp. I spin an enchantment. I can cast an enchantment with the harp because it's a magical instrument. You know, Merlin carries a harp, and King David had a harp,
yep.
and the god Apollo had a harp. And, you know, there's all these kind of legendary beings that played the harp, because
right.
the harp has the purest tone of any stringed instrument, and the harmonic of the sound of the harp and is like no other instrument, you know. And it's perhaps the most sacred and oldest string instrument on the planet is the harp. And it's
yeah.
found, the oldest harp we found on Earth archaeologically has been dated to 5,000 years from
wow.
ancient Sumeria, and was played in the royal courts. But I have memories of playing in Atlantis in the healing temples.
Really? Nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had so many dreams, you know. I have one of my albums is called Harp Dreams from 2005, and that got an album of the year, went to number, but it's all about these dreams and visions I've had. And I've been shown so much through this process, you know, that the angels have shared and revealed. But the harp is a magical instrument. And I write about in my book, there was a period of time when this came to me, and I just wanted to say that, you know, I started playing, and then 10 months later, following the angel's guidance, I made my first recording here in Sedona, my
right.
first album. And it was a little cassette tape I made, and I called it Harp Magic, and it just followed the angel's guidance. They said they would help me with the whole process. So, you know, I started sharing it with the New Age bookstores here in Sedona, and they started selling it, and people were really responding to it. And it really started happening, like the angel said, that the music was going to go all over the world. It was going to be this grand thing, and I'd become famous. And they showed me all of this. It was such a big vision, but I just took it one step at a time, and I could hear them guiding me. And then I made the album and started going out. I didn't know anything about the music industry or how to market or promote music. So I just asked the angels. I said, hey, can you send me some help if you want the music to go out? I need help. I don't know anything about music business. And so I just sent the prayer to the angels and I just let it go. And a week later, I get a phone call. And on the other end is some record company executives who were traveling here in Sedona. Yeah. And they went into the New Age bookstore. They heard my music playing on the stereo, my little cassette tape. And it just so happened they were searching for a harpist for their record label,
wow,
the instrumental music record label. So they tracked me down and they called me up and they said, you know, this is who we are and we love your music and we'd like to help you bring it to the world. And on that call, they offered me worldwide distribution and a 5-record deal.
Christ.
And I was a week after I asked the angels,
you got the help,
to send help. I got a phone call. I wasn't even looking, you know, it was just so magical. This is how the angels work. When you connect with your angels and you're doing a good work for all of humanity and for the greater good, you know, this is great things can happen.
Well,
so many of the great masters, you know, have of like Beethoven and Bach,
yeah,
they were very much inspired by angelic visions of the higher heavens. And the great Renaissance artists like Rembrandt and Michelangelo and whatnot and Da Vinci, they were all inspired by the angels. And they spoke about them and wrote about this.
Peter, we've been inspired by you and your story. I know about that listening to you here today. But time is beating us, Peter. So what I'm going to do now is, and I haven't even touched about your stained glass windows and all that stuff. I'm just enjoying having so much fun. What I'm going to do now, Peter, is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your books and your music. And by the way, your book, Hearing the Angels Sing, you've got a 70-minute CD in that as well. So over to you, Peter.
That's right. Yeah, so thank you for having me, Barry. It's been wonderful to be here and talk with you today. And everybody could come and visit me at my website at harpmagic.com, harpmagic.com. And my music is streaming on all platforms, Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, Pandora. So go search for me there. And if you go to my website, all of my social media links are there for Instagram and Facebook and all of that stuff. So thanks for letting me share with everybody and wishing everybody a beautiful summertime or wherever you are. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest today, Peter. There we go. My guest today. How about that, eh? Really good stuff. We've been talking to Peter Sterling. I lost track of where I was there. Peter Sterling and his book, Hearing the Angels Sing, A True Story of Angelic Assistance, which includes, as I said, a 70-minute CD of Peter's music. And it goes into all the stuff he's been talking about. And I meant to even ask about, he's got this... there's a lot of this stained glass stuff and crystal stuff and everything. Portals of light, he calls them. Lots of stuff. So lots of real good stuff to follow. Plus you get the music as well. How about that? Anyway, that's it for this week. I'll be back the weekend with my two music shows from a sip of tea because the throat's starting to go. from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, we have Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week, first of 2 weeks, is Mr. and Mrs. Think about that. And then from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s from around the world. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with a book and a chat. Until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...